Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Always wonderful to have Dr. Jeremy Silver on with us. Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Dr. Silver, my friend, good morning and welcome to the show.
Hey, Dean, thanks for having me. Always nice to be walked on by Billy Joel.
Right?
Appreciate
nothing,
that.
Nothing wrong with that. Did you hear a little pre-medical segment that we did in the last half hour? I don't know if you were if we had you on the line yet or not, but Andy had torn retinas this week and had to go for laser surgery.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope it went. I hope it went smoothly.
It did. It was a very interesting procedure. I was telling Dean earlier, just the flashes of light with the laser are something to behold. But I think they were able to repair a couple of small tears.
Yeah, it's absolutely
good to hear. Absolutely. Good to hear. And they told you you'd be fine going forward, then, I assume.
Yeah, I'm going to go back in a week or two to have them check it out. But vision's coming back. It looks it's a lot clearer than it was a couple of days ago.
Glad to hear it. Good that you got it taken care of quickly.
Yeah, and the Shawnee's having an oral or had an oral procedure this week. I'm having one next week. So, you know, well, this is like a doctor's waiting room on this show today.
Well, listen, you know, it's job security for those of us in the field.
I guess it is. I was reading a very interesting article about. And I've wondered about this also. When do you go to the ER, and when do you go to an urgent care center? It was in Time Magazine. Very interesting article. And I thought, who better to talk to about this than the medical director of emergency medicine at Kishwaukee Hospital, our pal Dr. Jeremy Silver. I don't know if you saw the article. What did you think of it? Thoughts about it?
Good. Good article. I would make one addition to it, but for your listeners, you know, the general rule of thumb is if you think you might have something life threatening, or if whatever is going on is rapidly evolving, get yourself to an ER and certainly call 911 if you think you're having a heart attack or a stroke. But if you can walk, talk, and drive, it's not getting worse quickly, and it's just more of a matter of convenience, then urgent care is likely fine. The one thing that I didn't see in the article is, you know, urgent cares can deal with a lot of very simple stuff, cough, colds, scrapes and cuts, ear pain, you know, minor injuries, minor headaches, but they don't typically take care of children less than 6 months old. Mm. And not a lot of people know that. And I think that's an important point to make.
Very interesting. Would you say that the urgent care center or immediate care or, you know, whatever term they use to describe their business is something, if you can't get into your doctor, then, you know, here at least you're getting a medical opinion and maybe a little something can be done, but if it's not urgent, if you're not bleeding, as you say, if you're not having chest pain, if it isn't something which could be very life-threatening, then an urgent care center might do the trick.
Yeah, for sure. You know, if other things like you think you might have a urinary tract infection, or you pulled your back at work and you're just looking for something, you know, those are the kind of basic things that that urgent care is good for. But general complaints like abdominal pain or flank pain, you know, those types of complaints can get thorny relatively quickly, and it's best to see the ER. The other thing that I'll mention is, you know, some people feel guilty going to the emergency room. And, you know, there can be wait times depending on the amount of ill people that are being seen ahead of you. But there's no reason to feel that way. We are also very good at the urgent care types of complaints, and we're happy to see those complaints as well.
Yeah, well, but I mean, it's good that there's another level of care, isn't there? Because, I don't know, these days it's hard to get in to see a doctor. To get into your primary doctor now? Could take months in some cases. I don't know what's happened suddenly in medical care, that there's too many people trying to get in, fewer doctors to see patients. It's hard to get in to see a doctor, whereas if you go to an urgent care center, you can probably get in within a reasonable amount of time to see somebody.
Yeah, it's definitely a great second option. Tough for folks that don't have a physician or aren't able to get in to see their physician, and they want their blood pressure meds and diabetes meds managed. That's going to get a little trickier that way. But it's a great stopgap. You're absolutely right.
What kind of demands are there now on emergency rooms? Has that changed in the last few years with COVID, with lots of things that are going on right now? I've always times that I've been in an emergency room and I'm just laying there watching, I'm watching in amazement at how everything is being managed and how they're taking care of so many different people and cases that are being rushed in immediately. It truly is something of wonder to watch.
It's an amazing choreography of chaos, and I think that I tip my hat to anybody who works in the emergency room setting and in healthcare too, truly, but particularly in the emergency room, you never know what's walking through the door, and you could have 20 people walk in for 3 hours straight. Meanwhile, ambulances are screaming to the back, and it can be quite overwhelming. You asked about what's changed. I think there's been a huge change in the workforce. A lot of seasoned professionals, whether it be nurses, radiology techs, respiratory therapists, physicians, who just said, I'm going to take this as my cue to move on down the road and get out of the field. And so there's been a workforce shortage. That's one element. The other thing that's happened over the last few years, and I'm not afraid to say this, is that insurance companies have made it exceedingly difficult for hospitals and physicians to do business. You might have somebody who needs chemotherapy, a child, and you have to spend hours on the phone arguing with somebody from an insurance company who maybe hasn't practiced medicine in a decade, and all they do is deny claims. Just so that your child that you're caring for can have a life-saving drug. Yeah. This is real. And if you kind of balloon that out and expand that out to the entire hospital, it brings things to a screeching halt, and it makes it really difficult to get people discharged when they're ready to go home and get people the treatments that they need. So issues abound, and I think the neat thing in all of this is that we in the emergency room have been able to adapt and adjust and still keep things safe and effective, and we're still able to take great care of patients, and we've got great young nurses and physicians in our emergency room at Kishwaukee who are ready for whatever comes next, and I love that.
This article is in a recent issue of Time Magazine this past week, if you want to take a look at it. The 847 area code doctor asks, should I be concerned if my potassium levels are high? And what food should I stay away from?
That is a bit of a loaded question. I guess it depends on how high and what other medical conditions that you have. But let me put this into context for the general listening group. Potassium is a naturally occurring element in the human body that helps with cell function. And in some disease states, you could think immediately of people with kidneys that don't work normally. The potassium can build up in the body because the kidneys filter it out. And high enough potassium can actually be life-threatening or lethal. And so some folks have to pay attention to the foods that they eat. You could Google high potassium foods, but things that come to mind right off the bat, avocado and sweet potatoes, as well as bananas. Those are the big ones.
Those are the big three.
Those are the big three. But spinach as well is another big one. A lot of people don't eat spinach, so it doesn't jump to the front of your mind. White potatoes actually also have a fair amount of potassium, and salmon as well as beans. So that you can find a more expansive list just by typing it into the search menu. The issue is for folks, particularly folks with kidney disease, they need to be very careful, and some even take medicines to help eliminate it. And so if it's high, you know, the safest bet is if you have high potassium and you're worried about it, go to the emergency room, and we can absolutely, this is bread and butter emergency medicine for us.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're out of time, I'm afraid, so we'll get together again next time. We'll talk more Week in Health. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine at Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Always a pleasure. Hope you have a great Sunday today, Doc. Thank you.
Same to you. Thank you.